Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People. We got a very special show. First, I'm going to bring on our co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing very well, Joe.
Great to hear. Now, what's appropriate about that theme song, which is that we have, is John Allen's theme song, which is part of the Founding Fathers and the Founding Principles and the Constitution. We have an expert on the Constitution, specifically First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Let me bring on our super guest, Karina Schmidt. How you doing, Karina?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Scarlett. And thank you very much for having me on your show today. It's really an honor to be here and to get the opportunity to talk to you and your audience about freedom of speech and freedom of religion today. Thank you.
And it's very important. That is the First Amendment, and you are an expert in it. And compare the Founding Fathers and the Founding Principles and the original Constitution, and you compare it all the way up to today. There's a big difference right now what's going on. What's your take?
Well, I absolutely agree with that statement. I think, in fact, our country is in jeopardy right now, to say the least. And, you know, it's not just in America that freedom of speech and freedom of religion is being jeopardized. This happens everywhere. It's going on in Europe. It's going on in the United States. And it clearly, in my perspective, demonstrates the weakness of the left. They have now embraced this philosophy that if you can't present a decent argument against your opposition, and I'm talking about if the left can't present an argument against a conservative, then they just want to ban your right to speech. I'm fundamentally a constitutionalist. I strongly believe that the First Amendment of the Constitution is absolutely crucial to our society, but that it's being crushed by some people's perverse need to control. As you know, the First Amendment is not just about freedom of speech. It's also about freedom of religion, of press, and the right to assemble peacefully. Now, as an author and publisher, our own Sophie Publishing House, the First Amendment is fundamental to me, and it should be for any author and publisher, really, and of course everybody else. But what I've experienced firsthand is how views are attacked and denied, they're censored and even ridiculed. I've experienced before I opened Sophie Publishing House, publishing companies, some of them the biggest ones out there, in fact, that demanded changes to manuscripts so that it would fit their political views. The common objective I met with, particularly one book that I had, it's called When the Germans Came, and it's about it's the narrative of a World War II veteran from Denmark. Now, the objective objection that I met from the publishers we first solicited in Denmark was that it didn't fit their political profile. So while that's not the government restricting freedom of speech, but a private company, that is what they're justifying their censorship with, that, you know, they're not a government agency. It is nonetheless control which views they will allow to be published, and basically in that sense forming a specific narrative that fits into the leftist opinion. It's a form of Hitlerism, I think you can call it, since it's control of the market. What's really mind-boggling is that authors so desperately want their books out that that sometimes they bow and comply with these narratives that the publishers are trying to create. Well, I didn't. What I did instead was I opened my own publishing house, and I did that simply for the fact that I thought control of other people is an absolutely disgusting thing to do. If what is expressed doesn't constitute the direct physical threat to somebody, such as, for example, if somebody wanted to promote pedophilia, which is absolutely, I think, a crime against humanity, then why are they trying to restrict a point of view? It violates the freedom of speech, and for religion, too, our freedom of religion.
This has been going on for a while now. It's not just in the publishing industry, but like you said, in the private industry. Look what they're doing at Facebook. Now we got Matt Gaetz that finally filed with the Attorney General. Matt Gaetz is currently filed a claim with the Attorney General on Facebook about Zuckerberg on his censorship. You got Twitter, who basically took Don Jr. off of Twitter for punching for a while. They're censoring Trump, of all people. All these conservatives are being kicked, and that's why you have Paula going on. There's a lot of different things. You can't say anything. And that's opposite of what their narrative is, even in the private sector, and it's being censorship.
I think you see it oftentimes in the private sector, but also in the public sector. When somebody is interviewing for a job, they'll actually go to check out their social media profiles and see what kind of postings they do, what is the perspective of this person. You know what? That's a serious intrusion on our privacy and our right to just be who we are. So oftentimes what happens when they do that is the person, if they're disagreeing with their, their political views or whatever that they've posted on social media, they will just not hire them. We've seen examples of people that have been fired for support of our law enforcement officers. And these are people that have been in that job for, many years, up to 20 years, there was one case of. And that is just flat out wrong. you know, what you do outside your job really does not need to impact your job. And it's wrong that they're steering people in this direction. It's force and it's totalitarianism.
What you post, comes back to haunt you sometimes. And really, because once you're outside of your job, after you punch the clock and you leave, it's none of the business of the boss what you do. As long as you're not breaking any laws, committing crimes or anything like that, there's no reason for their concern. And that's a problem.
I agree.
And one of the things I don't like on applications is your sex or, you know, your sexual orientation. They have male, female, which is fine, but then they get other, and that's ridiculous. The other thing is race. They base your hiring on race, and that's wrong, too, because it should be the best qualified person to support a job.
Well, that goes way back to the Affirmative Action Act. I mean, I'm an immigrant in this country, too, originally from Denmark, but I came here in 99, and things have changed tremendously. In my perspective, the Affirmative Action Act is absolutely preposterous, and it's discriminatory because it really opens the door, and we've seen this happen, for somebody that doesn't have the qualifications to become employed in a company or get opportunities in school that they're really not qualified for, while dismissing somebody else. And it doesn't matter what race we're talking about. If you don't have the qualifications, you shouldn't be positioned in that job in that educational institution.
That is true. And if you go and write a thesis in a university that is a all lives matter, pro-police, pro-Trump or small government, something that's not progressive or liberal, your professor will cook failure you because of your ideas.
Getting kicked out. And that's pretty much all universities that are like that today. There are very few that are on the conservative side. It's ridiculous how that has turned now. But you see it in organizations, too, where there's this group pressure. For example, I have experienced it with an organization for writers, and I'm not going to state here what organization it is. But the situation was that the editor of their news letter was verbally attacked by several of the writers who were liberals for his conservative views. They simply attacked him. What was mind-boggling to me, as I'm, you know, watching this from the sidelines, so to speak, what was mind-boggling to me was that these writers who claim that writing is about freedom of speech and expression, they really were unable to see their own hypocrisy in what they were doing. They were trying to restrict what the editor could and could not write in the newsletter, the editorial. Well, is that not speech control, though? And isn't that they're fundamentally against? It is, yeah. It was
speech,
really disgusting to... It was disgusting to watch people sit there and criticize the editor for writing the editorial for the monthly newsletter because it didn't jive with their political views. We have a fundamental right to express ourselves.
You're literally controlling people's speech.
Right.
You can't be, it's very hard to be conservative on the news broadcast these days. It's very hard to be conservative on in a newspaper. It's like you could get by 1, 2, 3, and they're kind of doing that now off of Fox. They're getting rid of a lot of the conservatives out there. There's only a handful basically left. It's being done all over the place, and the messaging is very difficult. But shows like this one, we could get the word out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Fox is subject to this, too. I used to enjoy watching them, but there are few of their shows anymore that I care to watch. And that's simply because it almost feels as if they have been bribed. And I'm not saying they have been. I'm just speculating that they have been bribed. You know, the ownership of them, the management to foster this this liberal narrative. And there are a few that are still worthwhile watching on Fox News, but they're going downhill. It's not good. They're just as they're becoming just as bad as some of the other networks. And I think it's about money. It's about who pays them enough. And unfortunately, we have some extremely rich people in and outside of this country that controls that. And to me, it's bizarre that you're so motivated by money that you're willing to give up your liberties. It's crazy. I mean,
creature from
that,
Jekyll Island, the wealthy. I'm telling you, these people who control the Federal Reserve and the whole thing, the very wealthy, they control.
Yes, they do.
And Fox
yeah.
News is owned by Muslims.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean,
so,
we pride ourselves with our Constitution, and one of the things that I really loved about this country when I first came here was the very specific Bill of Rights. For example, you know, we're talking about the First Amendment today, which clearly states that Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the freedom of speech or the freedom of the press. They also can't make any laws in respect to people's right to peacefully assemble. And neither should, for example, social media or the press. They need to be neutral. It's ridiculous that you have social media and the press that are such opinion formers. They're opinion creators. They're steering people in a specific direction. Meanwhile, they're claiming to be all about tolerance and diversity and this, that, and other. They're exactly the opposite. If you're restricting somebody's right to practice a religion, for example, so, you know, we have countless mayors anymore and governors that are restricting people's right to assemble. It's going on in Miami-Dade County. I cannot express to you how disgusted I am with the Miami-Dade County mayor for his restrictions of our right to peacefully assemble, for our right to, you know, self-govern. The whole thing about masks needs to be on choice. You know, if you don't want to wear a mask, who is the government to tell you to do so? But they have really intruded on our lives to a degree that's completely unacceptable and should cause these mayors and governors to be removed.
There's a mask law down
to.
Here. They violate their own law.
Yeah, because, you know, they initially did. I had a law where you can't wear a mask down here because of the KKK. That was going back in the 60s, 70s. But we had a gentleman by the name of Sabatini that filed a class action suit in the Broward County Courts.
Anthony
Sabatini,
yes.
Jesse Melton was there, Bob Sutton, and a bunch of others. Were there at the courthouse, basically my whole team, basically. They went in and filed the lawsuit violating the Constitution and Bill of Rights and so forth. And also the fact that masks actually hurts people, not helps people, because you're breathing your own poisons. Monday, something else happened. They raided a gym that Sabatini and people went to go to in Plantation, and they actually arrested the owner because this one person had no mask on. He came out afterwards. But that's the retaliatory strike put on by this mayor, Holiness,
right.
And down here in Broward County. The mayor in Miami-Dade, Jimenez, and the other one, those two mayors, they violate the Constitution left and right, and people are standing up to them. And it's not just down here. It's all over the country. Look at what's going on in Michigan, in California, New York. You know, and you can't even sing at a church the way they're going. They're arresting people having prayer services outside.
Newsom has... Governor Newsom, he has banned singing in church. The man is insane. I swear, he's simply insane. I mean, we shouldn't even have to discuss what the First Amendment really means, because it says it very specifically, that they shall make no laws that compromises our right to practice our religion, our freedom of speech and press, and so on. In that paragraph, there's absolutely no exceptions, no conditions, no restrictions provided. It's not like, well, you can practice your religion if you're less than, 50 people or whatever. No, it doesn't say anything. And the Founding Fathers, I strongly believe, worded the Bill of Rights in such a way so that we, the people, can enjoy these unrestricted liberties, which is what, if people remember back or learn their history lessons, is what they went to war over with England many years ago. So it's like gradually over time, the First Amendment has been compromised by countless laws, which, while favoring a minority in our society, at the same time, consequently, violates all other people's First Amendment right. I want to bring out just one bill that has really been mind-boggling to me since it was introduced last year, and that's the Equality Act. It should be common sense to not even introduce this horrendous bill. It shouldn't never have been on the table. But unfortunately, we don't live in a society. What's that?
That bill was geared to try and take away religious freedom and give ideas to the gay community, which if they actually got figure out things, what happened to them, and actually did proper therapy, and as Chuck Pinoza said, who happens to be gay, if they actually did rehab to the gay community from the addictions there, 80% of that community would be gone and healthy, and the gay population would be from 12 or 13% down to 2. And I had women who have been victimized by men, especially fathers who have been raping their daughters, and then because every time they have they fall for a guy, all of a sudden the father comes up, picture of them, so they think it's all over again and become lesbians when they're not, because they're punishing themselves because of that. If you heal those women with therapy, plus the fact you get the addiction out of there, gay community would be down to 1%, if that. It's a choice. There's no such thing as a gay dream.
The Equality Act is predominantly about homosexuals and acceptance of the LGBTQXYZ, whatever they come up with tomorrow. I don't have a problem with ridiculing that, because they have added letters to it as they go along. The latest one I heard of was pedo, or the P for pedosexuality. I mean, that's creepy.
It's called pedophilia. It's called pedophilia and pedophiles, and they're trying to make that legal in California.
This way
fathers don't get arrested for what they did to the daughters.
Yes, and it's so sly and so sneaky and so disgusting. I mean, the Equality Act provides certain special interests, rights for a tiny group of people in society, but what it does, as we talked about, is that it actually paves way not for diversity to be accepted, but for this tiny group of people to sue the majority and to deny the majority their right to freedom of speech and expression. Now, you probably remember the case with a bakery that had refused to make a wedding cake for a homosexual couple, and it was based on his rejection was based on his religious belief that he didn't feel that, two people of the same gender should marry. Well, they went ahead and they sued the baker instead of just accepting that, the baker had the right to reject a project. So instead, they go ahead and they sue the baby for discrimination based on their sexual preference. It's ridiculous, and it's also malicious and infantile, when in fact they could very easily have contracted another baker who was willing to do the job. The First Amendment.
Yeah, the idea. The idea was to get rid of religious freedom and get rid of Christianity
and this had nothing to do with
gay rights.
No, and it had everything to do with attacking a person that is, you know, Christian or Jewish, and they've done it several times. So, you know, it's a way for them to politically gain and force people to do something that's against their will. And the First Amendment is used in this way by the left against the majority for this political gain to force people and you know, to use scare tactics and bullying people instead of, as they claim, you know, being tolerant of others and seeing people for their diversities and so on. They will not accept these views. They will keep pounding you. So it's like, you know, you and me and anyone do not have to accept other people's views. You're not obligated to like what I have to say, but we have to respect each other. And that's the beauty, I think, of a democracy and freedom of speech. There is a difference between respecting somebody's views and accepting them, but that's not the way the left sees it. They want you to think only as they do, and they have absolutely zero tolerance and zero acceptance of other people. Is their way or the highway? And we just can't have that. I mean, if that's what they want, go live in another country that already has communism.
Well, because they indoctrinate these kids at 5 years old when they go into school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have school kids. I know.
That's
absolutely
the educational system.
Told my son to yes on the death because I didn't want him to
do his own thing.
Right. I didn't want him to be bullied or picked on. I said, just yes on the death and move on.
Do your own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then do your own thing. It's not just the gay community. Look what's going on in West. It's either my way or highway with groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Antifa is a terrorist organization. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group. The people involved are all professed Marxists. They also be funded by George Soros and others, and the financial line goes directly to the DNC.
It's like follow the money.
I think their parents should be held accountable for their children's actions.
And by kneeling
sorry,
to these people,
you.
You're giving up your rights.
I think parents should be held accountable for their children's actions.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree. There's sometimes, you know, especially when you're dealing with teenagers, when they get to a certain age, parents cannot be held accountable exactly for what the kids do. At some point, if you have raised your kids, you know, teaching them the difference between right and wrong and stuff like that, and you're engaged in their education. I have a high school as well. I'm engaged in his education. I take the time to read some of the texts that they provide in school, and I discuss it with him, and I do the same thing with my two elementary school children. And a lot of the texts that they're providing the kids are full of misinformation. They omit truth. They omit to discuss primary texts with the kids. For example, in world history class, this is for ninth graders where my son is at, they were discussing Islam in school. And as much as I support freedom of religion, we need to also look at what is taught within that religion. For example, they were teaching that Muhammad was this great guy and a good father and, you know, a freedom fighter for his society. And that's the kind of baloney that they will fill these children's heads with. We're talking about 15-year-olds that really don't know anything better. Let me make this point, though. Here's the problem with that text. Not only is it full of errors, but what the teacher is also doing, and shame on the teachers for never, ever, ever putting in front of these kids the primary text, which would be the Quran. What exactly does the Quran say? Does the Quran say what the textbook said? No, it really doesn't, because the Quran allows for so many violations against women and children that it's not even funny. It allows the man to beat his wife, you know, and it allows sexual interaction with children under the age of 18, which in our society we perceive as wrong. However, when the teachers are failing to train kids in critical thinking by using the primary text, and this tertiary text, which the textbook is, it's written by, you know, academics that are basically hired by the school system, and the school system has been funded billions of dollars by organizations such as Open Society, owned by George Soros. That is the view that they're seeing in the textbooks. But if the teacher had been objective and been fair to the children, then they would have taken excerpts of the Quran and said, okay, what does the Quran really say about that? You can look it up. There are resources online to look it up. They failed to do that, which means that they're failing the entire generation. They are indoctrinating the kids, which absolutely violates our freedom of expression and our freedom to critically think as well. They are bullying kids into believing that the textbook is just the gospel. It's ridiculous what is happening. And frankly, I don't think the teachers deserve a raise, as they have been granted recently. You know, that was granted in the last midterm election. They don't deserve it, because they're part of this huge network of indoctrinators.
One of the good things about the fact that they're actually being trained virtually at home is that the parents can actually now see what they're being taught. And it may just backfire on a lot of people in the teachers' unions and stuff, because now the parents are actually getting hands-on on what their own kids are being taught. And if the parents had any type of education at all, it will actually show that their children are being misled.
Yeah. The only problem that I see with this homeschooling is there are many parents, I'm fortunately not one of them, but there are many parents that really can't homeschool for the simple fact that they have a job that they need to be at. For example, you know, our store workers, people in the medical industry, they can't just homeschool. Somebody's got to be home with their kids when they're homeschool. You know, you have a first grader. You can't leave the first grader home alone for 9 hours while mom and dad are at work. It's irresponsible to do that. Not everybody has family around to take care of the kids. But we need a complete reform of our school system. And we need to go back to the basics, I think, of our Constitution and start stripping away some of these legislations that really violate our Constitution, such as, for example, the Equality Act. It's a great violation of our right to a freedom of religion, because it can be used against you for that, as we've seen several examples of. We have a very, very serious problem in America right now, an existential problem, as these political actors are on so many fronts violating the fundamentals of our Constitution, not just the First Amendment, mind you, but it's our mayors and our governors around the country. Although I will say I do like our governor DeSantis. I think he's very good, but I don't like Jimenez, because I think he's violating our rights. But in many parts of our country, mayors and governors are attacking our First Amendment rights, but they're also attacking our Second Amendment rights.
Right. That's it. And look what they did to St. Louis, to that couple. And they did the right thing. And over here,
it's their right to protect our property.
Yeah. I've been telling everybody, even when I was running and now not running, is that you have a constitutional right to protect your property and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And in Florida, there's a thing called stand your ground. So as soon as you take somebody goes and puts a screwdriver in that window, you can blow that guy out.
Yeah.
And you protect your property in self-defense.
again, with the Second Amendment, as it is with the First Amendment, the Founding Fathers were so brilliant that they did not demarcate the right to, you know, assemble or express yourself as is in the First Amendment. But also with the Second Amendment, there's nothing in the Second Amendment that provides restrictions. It simply says that you have the right to bear arms. All right? It doesn't say anything about what type of arms or how many guns or rifles you can have in your house or ammunition. It doesn't say anything about the need for concealed weapons permit, which I think is a violation of the Constitution. That, if you read the Constitution, it simply says that the people have the right to bear arms, to keep and bear arms, and that it shall not be infringed. The moment you put any restrictions on there, the moment that you tell your people in your state, because they have, you know, the federal government has directed the states to provide for their own restrictions, which is ridiculous. The minute that they tell you that you need to go get a concealed weapons permit, they're violating the Second Amendment. The minute that they're telling you that you can't bear it on your body with, you know, either concealed or openly, they're violating the Constitution. These laws need to be stripped away. And the laws were not made for people to war against each other. The laws were made, the Constitution was written for the people to get the opportunity to protect themselves and their property and their family against, you know, intruders or, you know,
tearing their government.
A hostile government. I mean, it could be that too. So anytime they place restrictions on us, or if they came out and said, well, you can only have a revolver, everything else is illegal, they're violating the Constitution. Those damn governors and
So can we sue them?
I would think that we could, but the problem is, you know, we have Sabatini in Florida, which I really admire. Everything that I read about him lately, I've admired, because he has the guts to go up against these violators. We need more of him. The problem I see with most lawyers is that they're liberals. Most civil rights lawyers are so far left, it's disgusting.
Yes.
Makes you just gag. Really, because what they're doing is violating the freaking Constitution. That's what's really mind-boggling, that the judges also cannot just look at our Constitution and say, okay, look, we have a law here that says, or a mandate for that matter, that says you have to wear a mask or you have to stay in your house or you can't bear arms, that the judges are failing our community is equally disgusting. And that's why I think we need to strip a lot of these overreaching laws from our table.
Right now we're tasting in this country is socialism, and that's only one step away from communism. And we're losing our rights, our freedoms extremely fast. And
they are,
you know,
record fast.
And
I mean,
it's exactly taking the exact same steps. We really need to stand up and be counted. That's why this election is very important.
Oh, it's critical. I think the election is going to blow up in people's faces no matter which way it goes. It's just a matter of which way is it going to blow up in people's faces. But what we need to also be very aware of as voters is not just judging people, you know, the candidates for their smiles and what they say they've done in the past. Like, you know, honestly, I was listening to Carlos Jimenez, the mayor of Miami-Dade County, at a meeting last week, in which he had the nerve to sit there and say, I came to this country for freedom. I felt like screaming in his face. Unfortunately, he was on Zoom and the rest of us, you know, we were in the room. But listen, if you have the nerve to sit and tell people and ask for their vote that you came to this country for the freedom, meanwhile, he is robbing everybody of their freedom to choose, their freedom to decide what is right for them, down to, you know, robbing people of their livelihood, their jobs, because of the shutdowns and the restrictions that he has imposed on people. You know, in the beginning of the shutdown, you couldn't even walk your dog in the park. What is that all about? So he's a hypocrite.
It doesn't make sense.
I have zero respect for this man, and I know I come very strongly out about
there is,
this, but
there
I
is
really
a guy.
Fundamentally think that he is a violator of our constitutional
what
rights,
power does
and he
the
should
governor,
be removed.
What
look,
power
oh,
does the
trying,
governor have over
okay.
the mayor?
You could fire him.
I honestly don't. I really don't know exactly how he can go after him, but at some point the people need to stand up because, you know, it's our daily lives that are being very negatively impacted by this. So it's surprising
he's
to me that you know I see the United States that you know I came here 20 years ago in '99. I see the United States when I first came here as this great country where. You know, we have the Bill of Rights, we have a great constitution, and Americans I saw as brave people, as people that stood up for their rights and, you know, went out there and made a great life for themselves. They had opportunities that in many countries they really don't have because they have already been stripped of these. And then in record time, in this last, you know, what, about 8 months now, because it really starts with
Trump losing the presidency.
Yeah, that's what this is about. But you know what? It's amazing.
I'm telling
so
you, November 4th, all this shit is
going to
go away.
I'm not saying this is all Americans. I say some Americans have become such incredible sheep that they're willing to bow to
yes,
this kind of totalitarian invasion.
They ran away,
of our
yes.
lives. Seriously.
Yes.
Shame on you for being such cowards, for being so so stripped of your own identity that you're willing to kneel to an oppressor. How stupid can you be? Shame on you for not picking up
well,
this
look what
constitution
you're doing
and reading it.
Sports is destroyed.
You know what? How can you respect these sports millionaires that are so removed from our regular daily lives, for people that are living on $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a year, how can you look up to somebody that makes millions of dollars a year and then tells you how to run your life? And they completely disrespect our flag. They disrespect our national anthem. They disrespect our
constitution. They kneel down to a Marxist group, and that is wrong.
It is disgusting. And I think, fortunately, we are a large group of people, too, that are poor.
Oh, no, the NFL is taking a $5.5 billion loss.
Well, great. Awesome. Walmart, I read in one place, that they have taken a 62% drop in sales after they implement a mandatory mask. I clap my little fat hands because good. You deserve that loss. You deserve to suffer the consequences.
Yeah, they
with
for
they're not.
I had a big
not.
Argument today with Parliament. Look, this is crazy what's going on. We need to stand up. I did a live feed I published just basically doing what we just talked about. We actually got you on here for 45 minutes. I would like, Karina, can you... because it's so great and interesting. Can you tell our listeners how to reach you and you know, website, number, and what you're going to do next?
Absolutely, and thank you. Yes, I'm the owner of Sophie Publishing House. We publish book and we do printing service and so on, and they can find us at sophiepublishing.com, and that's SOPHIE publishing.com. And our telephone number is 786-403-6771. My focus is on authors and their unrestricted literature. We don't go in and censor their literature unless it is a clear violation of the law, what they're pushing for. Such as, like I said, if somebody wanted to write a book about, you know, in favor of, say, pedophilia, I would refuse to publish it because it's against the law, you know.
Do you do children's books?
Yes, we do, in fact, have children's books. In fact, one of my authors, Joseph Doughty, a gentleman who lives here in Florida, he wrote a really cool book called Joe's Adventure. It's about him and his brother in the childhood growing up in Florida. They had moved from, I think it was Michigan, and my two children in elementary school, they're in third and fourth grade now. They're reading it right now. It's a great book. We have another author that wrote a book called Mr. Powers. There's actually two of them. And we have also a man from Miami here that goes by the name of Mr. Fix. Mr. Fix has written a couple of really cool children's books. One of them just came out here in May 16th, I think it was, if I remember right. It's called The World of Candy, and these books are available on our website. And then we have, for example, about World War II, I wrote the book called When the Germans Came, about a Danish World War II veteran and how he experienced Denmark during the occupation, which lasted 5 years. We have several autobiographies, such as Greg Alvarez that wrote City Boy. We have Ben Batchelder that wrote My World book. We have some really good fiction writers such as Will Hardin and Michael Rogers is really great. Fernando Cabrera, and on the sci-fi side, we have a young lady who's actually in Broward County. Very good. She has a series called The Protectors of Humanity. So it's a great variety of books that we have. Also on the political side, we have a couple.
Wow.
Yeah, we have two that pertains to current events and the political arena in the United States. One is Voting Because Your Vote Counts, that I wrote last year. And then we have Kathy Chamberlain that wrote Rules for Deplorables, which is a rebuttal of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals that came out in 72, and Kathy really nails it. These books are available on sophiepublishing.com. Also,
hey, I'm proud to be a deplorable. That's right.
Yeah, me too.
We all are.
So, you know, my focus
we
is
all
not
are.
Just one thing. I mean, we have some spiritual books as well, such as The Road Less Traveled and Not Just for Us by Thomas Stevens. We have a large variety. There are very few books that I would decline.
Do you design the books?
I help them with cover designs, but I allow also my authors to bring out their ideas, and we submit that to our graphic designers, and they come back with different proposals. And then the authors, they work with them back and forth until they get the design they're looking for and so on. We help them with how to structure, say, the back cover, like what information should go on there. Yeah. So
very nice.
My goal is to help them, you know, not just publish a book, but also go out and sell the book, you know, get people engaged. A lot of big names out there, they have been discovered by an agent, and they have probably solicited a whole bunch of people, but the marketing budget for them are hundreds of thousands of dollars, and most people can't afford that, right? But they want to get their book out there. Well, that's where I come in and try to help them with that. No, most people don't have a $250,000 marketing budget to cover this entire country. We're talking about a country with, 330 million people. Most people can't afford that budget. So there are other avenues that you can go about that perhaps takes a little bit longer. But it is very satisfying to get the opportunity to go out and talk to people about my author's books. I've helped, for example, Will Hardin with some seminars. Currently, we can't do it simply because of these crazy restrictions that we're under right now. And that's hurting our community.
Suggestion,
it's hurting people getting together.
You should set up a book reading on Zoom and invite people for
him to
read.
We tried to do You know what? I got to be honest with you. We tried that in the beginning of the shutdown, and I had to shut it down myself simply because we had a bunch of bozos that got on the call. And luckily for this one here, not too many had locked in. It was very few that had locked in at this point. It was like in the very beginning of everything starting when this moron and his two friends locks in and he exposes himself indecently. They're trolls, yeah. But you know what? This was for a kid. This was for a kid book event. So what I did, I turned around and reported it to Homestead Police and filed a report with the FBI because that's unacceptable to act like that. So hopefully
Three of we're getting close to the end of the show. Any last words before you leave?
Yes, I think we need to reach out to parents, really, but perhaps also grandparents. In Miami-Dade County, we're in a community where a lot of families, they live with three generations. And what I think we really need to focus on coming this year, because it was just announced today that kids are not going to go back to school. It's going to be all online school. So that means us parents and family members are forced to become very involved. We need to really sit down and critique the literature that's presented to the children in school and become involved in providing our children with literature that's much more appropriate, you know, get them involved in church activities as much as they possibly can. At some point, they're going to have to lift these restrictions, but people can still become involved without meeting at the church itself. But it's about getting materials for the kids and reading with them and critiquing what they read. You know, currently I'm writing the curriculum for my oldest son, his language arts class, because I think what they teach in school is crap. Honestly, it's garbage what they teach them. So
yes, I
picked out that he's going to, I mean, they're not reading very many books in school anymore because they have eliminated this. So this semester he's going to read Animal Farms by George Orwell, and I'm constructing his, you know, the questions he's going to be working
on. You should read all those
on.
Books, Tom Sawyer and The Crucible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I read all those books. They were great
stories.
And they've
been stripped off the shelves now, you know. A lot of libraries in schools will not let the kids bring home books because they think they're going to steal them. You know what? What they're really doing is denying the kids the right to expand their horizon mentally. And that is a crime against humanity that they're doing that. They should be charged with that crime, in fact. But parents have a responsibility, too, I think, to really get involved and to start reading again. Unfortunately, we're in a society where people read the garbage
Take
that they
to
see
the public
on social
library.
Media.
You know,
that
you go
too.
To the public
you know,
library,
contact,
take
contact
books out.
Little, you know, contact little publishers such as us. We'd be more than happy to help you, you know, find fun and good and educational literature for all ages.
Absolutely.
You know, if you have a high schooler or whether you have a high schooler or a college student or whatever, I'd be more than happy to take a phone call from a parent that says, hey, listen, you know, I have a fifth grader at home. I don't know what I should get them to read, and they need help with reading because they haven't learned enough in school or whatever. Can you help me? Yeah, sure. It might be a book that we have currently, but I have a really good background in literature for my university degrees from Denmark. And I can guide them to where they need to be and how to construct questions out of the literature. It's not that difficult. It's just about engaging your brain, really.
Okay, Karina,
yes,
we're going to have to end it here. We got less than 5 minutes left of the show. So, and we still got to say our goodbyes and tell our guests what's going on for our next show. Karina, I want to thank you for coming on.
And
I'd love
you so much
to come
for having
back
me on
in the
show.
Future.
And you need to come. Yeah, you need
to
come.
Reach out to me. I'd love to. And thank you
There's
so much for having
discuss.
Me on and for bringing
oh, you're
up
welcome.
Such an
thank
important.
You for coming.
It is such an important topic: the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and the freedom of expressing ourselves. It is fundamental to our country.
Right
and
to bear
cannot
arms.
Stress enough.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank
you
so much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. Have a great
evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We got 5 minutes left of the show. We actually had a full board. Everything was good. Nobody called in, but we had a full chat board. To announce,
I want to say one
Sunday.
Thing before you get into the issue. I want to tell everybody, God bless America. Everybody be good. We're coming. We're going to come out of this. Stay strong. Fight back. Don't give up your right. Good night, Joe.
Good night. The show on Sunday is, believe it or not, we have two guests. One is in the entertainment field. He is the artist. That's his name at 7. And then we got follow-up at 7:30 with Christian Costa, who's running in CD20 run for Congress. And he has a full ball of stories, too. Many other stuff's coming on in the next few weeks. Stay tuned for a great show. I want to thank Scarlett for coming on. Karina Schmidt on for almost the whole show, which is what started out to be a 20-minute thing, ended up being for the whole show. It is very important, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and we have to fight for our freedoms and do not let these socialists take over this country. It is important. God bless you all. We will see you again on Sunday. Have a great evening. Bye-bye now.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the